Welcome, welcome, welcome to the DL Debate. Thanks so much for tuning in now on Highland Radio or back via the podcast. We have a huge show coming up for you this evening. Earlier on today, I spoke with Tyrone legend Enda McGinley. That interview will be coming up later on the show. Before that, we're going to speak to two men who know a thing or two about the rivalry, Donegal and Tyrone. That's Roy Kavanagh and Owen Mulligan, two top lads. But before that, the main man, Wham Bam, we're on the road to Sandpark, Hilferty.
Is in the studio. Bit of a rap there.
Bit of an MC in there. Joe Dex is here as ever, keeping us right. Parry, good to see you.
Good to see you, Brennan. Are you all right?
Very best. Parry, how could it not be? We're heading for the Ulster final. Let's pump it up.
Exactly. It's, look, brilliant atmosphere yesterday and in the Maiden City once again. Look, what
an different from the week before.
Total difference. Yeah, it was. I took the kids in yesterday evening as well. Yesterday during the day, sorry to say, and just the whole atmosphere. You know, you could feel it building and building. And look, it didn't disappoint. It was enthralling from end to end. And as I say, getting a victory over Tyrone, I suppose, Brendan, it's suppose something people thought about. Could Donegal get into an Ulster final this year? You were going in thinking, yeah, we could potentially turn over Tyrone. And I look, you have to say Tyrone potentially, they were maybe the better team throughout. You know, Donegal at the end up getting that point and by Brendan McCall to force extra time and the drama again. But
the belief is back though. You know, you never thought we were out of the game. And straight away, you know, 9-point defeat to Tyrone last year. You know, there's been some change. You know, I've seen Sean Kavanagh writing about Donegal today, you know, from last year to this year. But obviously there was a load of players that didn't commit to it. And the two lads did steady the ship somewhat. But now you have, like, you've got a proper football team, you know. It was very tactical. But at least, like, you're in there, you're fighting. And you're, like, throwing swamp this last year, you know.
Aye, well, that's true. And I suppose that's something probably some people didn't, you know, think about. Beaten by 9 points last year. You go back and, you know, it's just another year on and Donegal going as favourites maybe yesterday for that game. But look, I suppose it just shows you the strides that the team, and you're right about the belief aspect, you know. You're going in there with, you know, more confidence than before previously. But look, a game that you had to really, really grind it out, and they did that, Brendan, and they did that, you know, right down to the letter of the law as well. You know, they really went for it when they had to. Like that last bit of drama at the end, heart in the mouth stuff, Brendan McCall getting the ball over the bar for, you know, look, it added to that drama as well, you know, and suppose it just showed the level of fitness that Donegal have in the legs, yeah, as well.
It definitely caught up with them, I think. Be interesting to get the boys' views on that. Just before we do, Park, listen, has been a great week underage. You know, our minor ladies lost Ulster final at the weekend. You know, disappointing for them going down to Cavan, 7-2-9. Our minor footballers were beat, and they're under 20s, obviously losing the semi final as well. So, you know, it's been a tough week at underage level.
A tough week at underage is right. You know, suppose when you look at the Donegal minor boys, 3-9-1-6 against Down, you know, I suppose disappointing more than anything else. You know, they were going good. And look, the ladies as well, the Ulster final, two early goals in that final for Cavan, supposing, and sometimes it's just the heads go down straight away, and it's hard to get that back, Brendan, as you know, especially in an Ulster final. But look, one positive as well, I suppose we were talking about negatives, was the hurlers actually had a fantastic one against Mullen, yeah. Like 4.27. So
that's
where
a bit of kick in there. Have you kicked 4.27 in your whole career?
I think maybe you have.
Huh? You might have got that total. Listen, Mickey McCann's boys, listen, we were huge favourites going on. They play Monaghan, and they've taken a few beatings, but listen, the manner in which we did again, first class, Roscommon next, that's a huge game, one of the best sides in it as well. But listen, we are going to talk now Celtic Park yesterday. I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Rory Kavanagh, former county star, All-Ireland champ, of course, and many, many other accolades. Rory, are you hearing me there?
I am, Brendan. How are you?
Right, you only live down the road from me, but I have to get you on the show here to get talking to you properly. That's such as the business of life. I have to book you
on. I'm in a wee box room here on my own. It's the only wee safe place I can get now.
Yeah,
kids,
from the war zone downstairs.
Hitting the toilet are my two safe places.
I get you, surely, Rory. Owen Mulligan, did we get Owen there? Owen, are you hearing me? Where are we at here, Joe? Are we on here? Owen Mulligan?
Yeah.
Good man, Owen. Loud and clear.
What's the crack?
Where in the world are you, Owen?
I'm in London. I left early, flight at 6 o'clock this morning.
My God, hey, 6 o'clock, hey, that would have been
is
a tight
call. Is he on the tear, is he?
Hey, he's a jet set.
Drowned in my sorrows after yesterday.
Owen, listen, we had a good bit of crack on the sideline. Owen, you know, the dust settling, there's always a different, you know, when you're there and then, you know, you're obviously in the heat of the moment no more sometimes when you're playing. When you left there, Owen, went back to Tyrone, what was the feeling? Was it one that particularly in them closing moments that, you know, it got away?
Absolutely, Brandy, aye. Absolutely. No disrespect to the Donegal or Jim McGuinness. I couldn't figure out where all the hype was in the Derry game. I know you did very well, and you ran Derry off the park. But I just thought Donegal were there for the taking. I love Jim McGuinness. I love the way he comes in and, you know, totally bosses the team. But Derry made an awful lot of mistakes that day. So did the goalkeeper made three mistakes. The penalty. He's only scored 8 from play. And I thought Tyrone was bossing the Cavan game. And they probably would have ran out of it, say, 12, 13-point winners if the Black Yard hadn't come in.
Yeah.
They were bossing that game. So I thought Tyrone had a lot more to give. And going 3 points up yesterday and not kicking on was a massive, massive blow for us. We had a chance to set it to you, on the sideline, Brandy, about not finishing out the run. And I probably got a bit agitated because I knew the game was there for the ticket. If they had took a chance to go 4 points up in that game, I thought the game was over. But to stay at three and just, you know, let Donegal back into it, it was crazy. It was crazy. With a chance when Morgan caught the ball, and it was down the right-hand side, I think it was. I gave it to Matty Donnelly, and we were in the ascendancy to go forward. And we turn back again and let Donegal get their defensive shape. If Tyrone can just trust each other to finish out runs, like Donegal, like the bigger teams, the Dublins, the Kerrys of this world, they'll finish out games comfortably. But I just thought they were a wee bit afraid to go and grab the game by the scruff of the neck and close it out.
Yeah, and Rory, is that the way it is now, Rory? The possession, you know, the maybe the wee bit of fear playing, it's complete counter-attack, it's wait and wait and wait. What was your feeling there, Rory, after a poor first half? You know, was a big job for Donegal to do. You know, after that, the fifth point that we got, I think we had 8 attempts and goals, 3 short and 5 wides. You know, we were rocking a bit. It was a big job at half-time for Donegal to settle. They were better in the second half, Rory, but were you afraid when we went to three behind the game that this is going to slip away from us?
Definitely, Brendan. I mean, it was a day when Tyrone got an awful lot right. You know, I suppose when they were looking at the Derry game, they would have saw how, you know, our two main sources of scores that day were from turnover ball in the middle third and the bottom third, and how we broke at pace and really punished Derry. And the second one was, you know, on that long kick out off Patton's, you know, again, sweeping up breaking ball and being really dangerous on that transition. But I suppose Tyrone came with a real good game plan. I thought they got their tactics dead on, like, you know, and they got their matchups dead on. You know, they nullified the long kick out by conceding it most of the first half. And as a result of that, like, Donegal were forced into a very slow and pedestrian build-up. And we just had zero intensity, you know, in terms of our attacking play. So Tyrone were really kind of playing on their terms. And I just thought, like, we, on the other hand, were very passive in defence. Normally you'd associate us, you know, really sort of getting out, getting contact, turning balls over and really breaking at pace. But, you know, the kick out one and us getting turnovers were just totally negated by Tyrone's tactics. And to be fair, they did a job on us in the first half, and us going in 3 points down, like, we were, a lot of us were thinking, you know, we're going to struggle here. And to be fair to Jim, like, he made changes at halftime, brought off Paddy McBurtie. It was a big call, like, and slowly but surely in the second half, we started, you know, turning the screw a wee bit. Like, we got three quick scores. Jason McGee got two, and I think it was Darrell Boyle got one to bring us back at, you know, nine apiece.
I thought O'Brien was a massive call because I came off.
He'd just kicked his second score on, and like
big time.
It was a great score because he injected a bit of pace and he cut through about two or three Tyrone fillers and slotted it over, and it was a big call because Darrell Boyle was kind of looking at Jim at that stage coming off, going, here, you know, I have more to offer, you know. So look, that was a big call, like, but the game got away from us after we got level again for a brief period, and, you know, a couple of kickouts went astray. I think one out to Kieran Daly's side was intercepted, got a score, another long one.
Yeah,
you know,
Keelan bounced that three-point gap opened up
again, Brendan. Yeah. And at that stage, you were thinking, if Tyrone get the next score, the game's over.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
do you
yeah.
know?
And tell me, lads, you know, you look at Ulster, obviously, and we keep talking about the championship and whatever, how excited it was yesterday, but, you know, you look at Cavan, Monaghan, Bonham, slight favourites good in the game, Derry were favourites against Donegal. Teams are just finding ways to tick them back. You know, you look at Down Antrim, even in Down Armagh, you know, even in the Cavan game, Tyrone is almost saying we're bossing it. Do you think, Owen, there's a thing there where, you know, we're overstating some of the teams that really, when it comes to a lot of these top sides, you know, if a team wants to set up a certain way, there's never going to be much in it. They're going to be hard beat. And really, it comes down to those tiny, tiny moments. And you mentioned a couple of them there, Owen. If you think about the McKiernan, who was brilliant, you know, the 2 points he got were top drawer, but that one he went for with the left, you know, at that point, me and you were talking, you were on about, you know, keeping the ball, but I think it was more to keep the ball, they dragged Donegal out, because yous had the point advantage, and it was your game to lose.
You're gonna have the weaker teams, lads, setting up so defensively to stay in the games. But Tyrone and Donegal, I thought, would have went at each other, to be honest with you. I thought they would have opened up more. Now, if Matty Donnelly at centre half back can run at players and commit players and break up, you know, the Donegal defence, and most of all, he was getting fouled as well, surely our forwards could see that's an effective way of going and moving and going straight at the defence. McShane is another one, going at the Donegal forward line, and then he scored. Shawnee O'Donnell was another one. But after that, it was so pedestrian. We were struggling. It was going back and forward. We weren't really penetrating Donegal's defence. It had to take a couple of balls from Morgan. He hit one over to Kieran Daly in the first half, the diagonal ball outside of the boot over the bar. That's the sort of stuff we're looking to see. But as I said, a wee bit more composure in front of goals, and the result could have been different. But I'm taking nothing away from Donegal. They were exceptional to stay in the game. Like, it's amazing. That's nearly the same team as last year. You know, you have to take your hat off to the Guinness. Like, it's nearly the same team, and he's just totally transformed it. Their hunger for the ball, their organisation, you can hear them organising themselves. So that's game management coming into everything. Their breaking ball is not the man going up for the ball. He's patting it down, but it's the third man. Say if the midfield goes up for the ball and the queue gets it, it's the diagonal run that's breaking the other defence, and it's a joy to watch. But Donegal will take some beating in the Ulster final. I'm not going to say they're going to go all the way, but you need, if any All-Ireland series or any all, if you win a Sam Maguire, you need them games to bring you forward. You need them 1-point victories, them extra time victories, and that's what they got yesterday.
And Rory, you know, Sean Cavan was writing in the paper there about 2011. Owen was around there, and, like, you know, that game, you know, which is highlighted as one of the biggest games in that evolution of Jim's tenure, where he was saying players were dropping back, not even paying any heed to him on the ball or to whoever had possession, just dropping in. Is there a feeling there, Roy, you can see similarities between this side? Even though football has changed and so-called moved on, that template is still what Jim's about, and it's a total team buy-in and performance.
I think what it pleased Jim mostly was, you know, you're right, it, the game was going away from us on a number of occasions, like, and it was that sort of belief in what they were about and belief in each other, because it would have been easy, you know, in the second half, when we went 3 points down again, to, you know, throw in the towel, or, you know, start criticizing one another. But the body language always remained strong, and that character came through, like, in the second half. Like, and even in the last possession, Brendan, you know, Donegal needed that score, and they kept the ball for 3 or 4 minutes. And eventually, you know, nobody was taking a pot shot. Nobody was going outside the sort of game plan thinking, I have to do this. They worked the score. They were patient. They probed both sides. And eventually, somebody made the incision. I think it was Ryan McHugh. Maybe had a shot for goal blocked down, and it ended up in Brent McCall's hands, and he popped the ball over the bar. But that composure under pressure, and doing the right thing, working the ball to the man in the best position, you know, that there had all the hallmarks of McGuinness all over it. Like, you know, to eke out that score when it was a highly pressurized moment. Like, you know, Donegal had to work that ball into the scoring zone, get a score, and they did that. Like, and to be fair to him, the switches that he made too in extra time were the winning of the game for me, you know, because there was a couple of lads he brought off, and he brought back on our shooters. He brought back on Paddy McBertie. He brought back on Darryl Boyle, and, you know, Jack McKelvey as well. And Jack McKelvey ends up getting a point in extra time. Paddy McBertie ends up getting, I think, a point from a free and the last score. So those switches, he deserves an awful lot of credit for those. Like, you know, yeah, under pressure, you know, was he going to stick or twist during extra time? And he decided to twist, and it paid off for them.
Yeah. Oh, and this, me and you talked about the extra time before. You said it wouldn't maybe affect legs, but when it did go into extra time again, then do you think it had a bearing? You know, I was looking, I think the last 40 minutes of that entire game, there was only 4 points kicked from Tyrone. Would you put some of that down to fatigue?
Judging by the last 10 minutes, lads, I probably would have, you know. The more you look into it, I was talking to Brian after the match, Brian Dyer, and he says we ran out of gas. A couple of injuries, McShane, Dara Canavan was cramping, and McCurry was cramping there. There were our biggest threat. Two big extra times to deal with. But we brought on fresh legs as well. I thought Brian got the matchups right, as you said earlier on the show there, lads. Mickey O'Neill, I thought, was exceptional. He cleared up an awful lot of ball. Big Colin Kilpatrick, he was only back from injury, so he was probably labouring a bit to near the end as well. McShane, a couple of vital misses, probably not be happy with them. But look, that's probably his first whole game, championship game back in a couple of years. So I don't think we're expecting all that much from him. He come on leaps and bounds and that. But as I said, look, there's two flying fit teams. I think probably Donegal were probably more conditioned, inexperienced from the young lads, probably paid off for Donegal as well, just trying to get near them. I think Seanie O'Donnell did exceptional on McHugh, but probably the second half of extra time, McHugh really showed what a player he was. He took that shot near the end, as you said earlier on, and it could end up in the net, but just probably Donegal's experience told at the last there, and he's got over the line.
Yeah, listen, I agree. Yeah, McHugh came in, it's Pat Morgan as well, I think, you know.
Definitely.
Niall O'Donnell was instrumental.
Niall was very good. Yeah. Like, he was probably our best forward on the day, Brendan, you know. Got on a lot of ball and dictated, you know, and was an assist player, winning frees, and scored 2 points himself. You know, I thought he was excellent yesterday.
Well, I was going to say,
see when the team was announced and Patton wasn't in, I thought it gave us a massive bit of belief, but I still thought we played a bit cautious.
I thought when you saw that change at the start, Owen, that you should go for the kick out a lot more.
I thought that too. I thought the lads would have pushed up on the kick out. I know very little about Mulrain, but it was maybe his first championship match or whatever it was. But he looked a wee bit shaky at the start. You know, to at least test him, at least push up on the kick out and test him.
Yeah, it was interesting, Owen. Yeah, I think that listen, it, either you do or you don't. And I think, again, what you're going back to and you mentioned earlier, that kind of bit of fear that, that people play with, you don't see many teams just going for it now, particularly in Ulster, because, you know, everything's working. It's play safety first and get back in numbers and don't get caught out, I suppose, after the week before.
And what they saw, Brendan, against Derry, like, you know, they had to respect that, I suppose, you know, like... Three goals off long kickouts, you know, against Derry, and they thought, right, we're going to take that score source away from Donegal, you know. So, and in many ways it did. It frustrated us, like, and it forced us into slow, predictable build-up play. And you know, Tyrone were coming off better in the exchanges. And as you said, Owen, they had their matchups nailed on, like, and our bigger players were struggling to get into the game.
I thought we were making, like, you said, I think it was six or seven wide first half. We were making you shoot under pressure. We're inviting you on so far, and then making you shoot under pressure. So he got the matchups spot on. But as I said, I would have liked to see maybe like a few of them push up on the kick out and test the lad coming in there. We didn't do that, but I think we were over engrossed in that long kick out and what happened against Derry.
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, I was just going to ask you about Jason McGee. He's become a real leader. Is he on that famous diet of yours where you went from being a wee bit
a man that size? No need for a diet or a seven meal a day diet. Anyway, that's for sure. No, but you're right, Brendan. He's really stepped up. Like, he had a huge game against Derry. And then when we needed him, when the chips were down in that second half, he was the man who led the charge at the start of the second half and got two important scores to kind of kickstart the revival, you know. And he's playing with form, playing with confidence, you know, and even then going into the extra time, he went up and won the throw in, like, and just a signal of intent again, like, and, no, he's someone now that's playing with real confidence, and we'll need him. Like, we'll need that ball winning ability.
Three points as well.
And driving forward, like, he's kicking scores, which is another string to his bow this year, like, which is great to see, and getting into dangerous positions.
Yeah. Owen, just interesting, you know, you look at a lot of your players played well in the game. You know, you can't say, you know, that's it. You know, the team performed well. You know, Morgan, Hampsey, Donnelly, Leffie Kiernan, they all, O'Donnell, I thought they all played really well. What about McCurry? You know, I've seen McCurry, like, I've seen him earlier in the year up in that Mayo game. He came on, absolutely destroyed them. Did you think, going, let's just say you had McCurry in form yesterday, that's going to be a different game in terms of he didn't get into his groove at all?
Lads, I think we've played a bit in all forwards positions, like, and that is an absolute nightmare to play against, that whole blanket defence and an inside creative forward. Like, the likes of Dara Canavan and him were playing in a half forward, half back position and breaking a pace. It's an absolute nightmare. If that was going on, what, 10, 15 years ago, I wouldn't like myself. It's just the way teams are playing. They can't get room. Like, McCurry, he's playing more of a feeder at the minute. Tell the lads, I like to see him inside, but the way Donegal has said, you're not going to get much freedom in there, Brendan. You know yourself, it's a nightmare. Like, a forward, you need the space and you need the men coming off you, and they're probably playing just the system, and it's not really suiting them.
Yeah.
You were right. Like, it was the boys out the back of the Tyrone attack, the Matty Donnellys, the Patrick Hampseys, the Michael McKernans. Those were the men who were causing Donegal most bother with the running, the hard running from deep and winning scorable frees, and Morgan was chipping them over. Like, you know, that was the main sort of source of bother for Donegal yesterday. Because I thought, you know, besides a few moments in the game, like, our full back line of Kern and Bren McCall and Kieran Moore while he was on did not bad, you know.
Yeah, indeed.
You have plenty of protection in there, you see, lads. Like, I could see the lads getting frustrated, the inside forwards getting frustrated because they couldn't get their shots out. It was just that blanket. Same as done for Donegal as well. McBurdy was subbed. Any of our lads could have been subbed as well. Like, it's just so frustrating. But it's a good job we had the likes of the Matty to come through there. Like, Matty was exceptional again yesterday.
Excellent.
Like, he's come back in 9 months out. Like, and he's come back. He's lost two games in a row, two extra times he's played. But he was the one driving force that was driving the team on and winning the free kicks, driving that man. And, like, it was a joy to watch, and it's a credit to him.
Yeah, and when you dust yourself down now, and listen, anything's still possible in the group stages.
Brian Dewhurst come out and says it was probably our best championship game to, since the All-Ireland final. That's a big statement.
Yeah.
I thought the lads played really, really well in fits and starts, but they just need, like, we've now, what, we've six, like, to blood nine debutants against Cavan. Like, that's unheard of. That's a massive step up. I was involved in, with the under-20s 2 years ago, and I knew how good a team they were. They're an exceptional team. They went on and won the All-Ireland, and five of them started against Cavan, and then another four come on. So it's a rebuilding job for Tyrone. That them two games will bring them on fits and starts. Do you know what I mean? They're no slow dozers. They want to learn. But I don't think Tyrone will fear anybody whoever they get in the draw on Tuesday morning. It's, you know, I'd say there'll be more teams fearing Tyrone.
They'll not look for excuses either, I know. But the bigger issue here is the scheduling too. Like, out in the second weekend in a row, and for the second weekend in a row, playing extra time, you know, it isn't good enough, really. This Football Review Committee is going to look at it, but they have to give players a chance. Like, and I think Jim actually said it in an interview too. You can't be sending players out under fatigue. He said, and it's crazy stuff. Like, you know, so we have to extend the summer a wee bit. We have to give the players a chance, and you know, the supporters too. Like, I was there with my fellas. Like, it's a big expense in families too, out week on week. You know, so it's definitely there's a bigger issue there that needs to be looked at. Like,
100%. Lads, thanks so much, Murray. I'd love to get your thoughts on the old Armagh game, but listen, we're running out of time here. We're down Sister Sarah's next week doing a live show.
Brandy, did you get the cure last night?
Unfortunately.
He looks better today now.
Oh, lad, here. The cure's a dangerous thing, my man. The new lease of life.
It is.
I was a sorry wee man this morning, Owen. I was a sorry wee man. I tell you what, it was impressive. You were away at 6 o'clock, I can think. Hey, it would have been a tough one for me at 6
o'clock. Don't talk. Every Monday morning. Monday morning,
good man, Owen. Owen, listen, as ever, lad, legend of a man, thanks so much for joining us this evening.
Thanks, lads. Enjoy the celebrations.
There.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, man. Rory Kavanagh, top. I'll see you soon. I'll be down for the tea, all right?
Good man, Brendan. Talk to you soon.
Top man. We'll speak to you after this break. Yes, welcome back, folks. A good wee round up there, Park. You enjoy that?
It's great listening to the two lads, supposed to two phenomenal footballers in their own right, and Rory, you know, analysing it as he does. And Owen thinking, I was, you know, frustrated with Tyrone, you know, that they didn't go for it. And you could see that yesterday
you
as well.
You see, from his team, you see, Park, they would go for it, you know, in terms of that different style of play. But in many ways, Tyrone going for it, I suppose, kind of led into Donegal continually beating them at those times. And it's that thing of, you want teams to go for it, but then that tactic is so hard to play against, you know, in terms of sitting. So they don't want to fall into a trap. You know, if you like it, Derry completely did. But, you know, I think there was a stage where, I think it was more about composure in those final few minutes, and with all those debutants there, you can understand that they're not maybe just ready for that game, you know?
Yeah, but as Muggsy indicated, they were really impressive yesterday, and McKiernan going for scores yesterday as well, down that right and left flank. I think he got a point either side, but you know, it was frustrating that Tyrone's supporters of old, you know, they were watching them just holding possession and standing bouncing the ball, you know.
Aye.
When they could have went for it. And that, you know, that's Tyrone of old, you know. Yeah. But look, they'll learn from that, you know.
Well, you've got that thing with Donegal's got the whole team inside the 45. So you're waiting for that right time. But yeah, when the game slowed up, it does look bad, I think. You know, Morgan's just literally standing there. Like, is this a game of football now? But listen, that's where we're at. And this review committee might be changing some things and that. You know, actually, Andy McGinley mentions it. Now, he's kind of, he didn't say it there, but he was telling me off air that even in that review committee, there's other people that's been brought in, so say I'm in it, I bring in a couple of people as well. So they've really put out the tentacles to pull in as much knowledge as they can. You know?
But you know yourself, we watched a lot of football. We love it when it's bouncing. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. It can't always be that way, and it's teams are going to do that tactical aspect. So it's going to be really interesting to see about these different rules. And you know, we've seen the one about Sean Patton going off as well. You know, just those new rules that are coming, you're scratching your head, really going, what's this all about? But we don't mind. We're in an Ulster final. So.
That's it, my man. That's it, Ty. End of beginning is coming up now. I spoke to him earlier today. How is she cutting the day and licking the wounds a small bit? What is the feeling from the Tyrone men?
the feeling is a lack of surprise that of all Mondays you decide to call me the day. Like,
sorry about that.
Yes, licking the wounds, but I suppose, and this sums the situation up to a large extent. The pain is nowhere near what it would have been many moons ago whenever a loss in the Ulster Championship was the end of your year. The loss in the Championship was annoying. Various factors, I'm sure you'll talk about it later, in terms of the throne and the fatigue potentially being there. I'm not too sure that was there, but certainly there's a few injuries in the camp to key personnel. Obviously, Donegal are missing Patton and that. But from a throne point of view, there was enough in the performance to please the majority of fans in terms of their competitiveness. There was concerns there in terms of how front-footed we were or otherwise, as it would seem, but I think it was that nature of the game just primarily. I think that's the way the stall was set out. So it's a loss, yes. It's annoying, yes. But I don't think it'll derail their season too much.
It was as we thought it would be. Now, me and you were over and back last week texting, and I was trying not to get carried away with the Derry game because it was very much advantage Donegal, but you were thinking it wasn't going to be like that. You had a bit of a sneak forward, Tyrone, and ultimately you were right. I was trying to keep the getting ahead of myself kind of situation, thinking, you know, after Tyrone's league and the way we played and all that, that your powers were inside in your forward line, that we would nullify that and we'd be breaking and we would show the legs that we did. But you were more right than me, and certainly the opportunity was there to win the game.
Oh no, the opportunity was absolutely there. Like once or twice, Tyrone were in the proverbial driving seat as such, and it was Donegal that came back really, really strong. Tyrone's game plan, I just felt it sort of suited. I thought Donegal's particular strengths were so clearly signposted against Derry that unless there was a major change up from them, you knew exactly what you had to avoid. And I think Tyrone went out and done that. They offered up the kickouts and they sat back themselves and sat deep and were very careful in possession to make sure they didn't cough it up. If they did cough it up in those prolonged attacks, there was an immediate race back. And so, like, whenever you've seen a team score four goals against such vaunted opponents as Derry through that blistering counter-attack, there's no better encouragement than if your team loses the ball, you are lighting a fire under your ass and you're getting back. Yes. So Tyrone were forewarned, and with that I thought they could nullify that particular threat of Donegal. And then you're looking, okay, well, in terms of point scores and in terms of that side of things, I felt Tyrone had enough about them to maybe cause Donegal issues. They did so. They struggled. Like, a lot of Tyrone shots were from fairly long range, which you can't really be relying on. Like, there were several sort of spectacular efforts, which you can't really rely on. So we did still, even though we done rightly from a point scoring point of view, we did struggle to break down that Donegal defence. Got through it a few times in the first half, but at least 50% of her shots were from fairly substantial range.
Yeah, and as you said, it just came down to, you know, it was just a mirror image, and then it comes down to those real, real small moments.
It comes down to Niall Morgan deciding to punch or catch that last ball that flicked across. It was just right down in front of us, and Darragh Canavan, as he had done a couple of times in the match, actually had managed to get a half block on the shot. And it spun up, hung over Niall Morgan, and he came to catch. And so the break came quite close. I'm sure in hindsight, he's meticulous about it in terms of his reviews and everything. I think just in that situation, I would imagine if you were speaking to him today, I think he would say, I wish I had a punch. Because if that punch is 10, 15 metres clear, I think Donegal aren't getting the equaliser.
And previous to that, Andy, you know, I think a lot's going to be made. You know, look at the McKiernan, who had a brilliant game. You know, he scored two fantastic points. The shot that he goes for in the left foot, you know, it's real, real difficult effort on the weaker foot. And from a Donegal perspective, and I'm looking at thinking, Tyrone can just keep the ball because you have Morgan. Like, you've got a spare player. And if you even rush Morgan could go by people. You could actually end up with two players overloaded. If you did want to attack then, I just thought, I don't know what you were thinking that time. If I was thinking from Tyrone's perspective, I'd be thinking just take that ball back, right, keep going around the periphery.
Yeah,
the,
and that's what they were doing, and they looked so solid doing that. It looked like that stage Morgan was just essentially standing soloing. You could sense that there was real sort of conflict within, not out and out conflict, but I mean just a awkwardness within the Donegal camp. How are we supposed to do this? We sort of want to stay compact. We need this turnover. We don't really want to push out and meet this in midfield. And yet we're chasing a point here. So, and I was looking at the shape of Tyrone at that stage. That Morgan in the centre, who's really assured in the ball, that Matty Donnelly in one wing, really assured in the ball, and then McKiernan on the other wing, really assured. And I just thought, God, that's a brilliant sort of last line type of a setup, asking them out and being able to just sort of play around a player if he does come out. So yes, it looked really, really solid. McKiernan took on, as you say, a fairly speculative shot. Now, at least it went dead. And I did think at the time, okay, he's took a shot, but thank God it went dead. Mm. Now it's the kick out. But as with nowadays, the kick out percentages wave heavily in the favour of the team taking the kick out in terms of securing possession. And they've done that. And then, well, it panned out the way it did.
Yeah, it did. And I just, you obviously do great pundit work there. You headed with the kids yesterday of the game. Are you still kind of making notes on that? Or what is it? Are you still kind of thinking half punditry, or do you kind of just watch the game and assess it as it goes?
No, you're very much thinking, because it sort of saves you maybe some time down the line having to sit down and review the match from an analysis point of view. Because like you know yourself, when you're doing this punditry game, if you're to try to do it right, and I don't have a big enough name to do it lighthearted, if you're to try to do it right, you really need to have watched a couple of games of each opposition to know what way are they setting up, what way are they playing, and all of those sort of factors, so that you can look out for what the opposition might be doing in any given game to counteract that, or what's working or what's not working. So when you're at a game and that there, yeah, you're automatically going into that sort of mindset, all right.
Yeah. Listen, a few times I've done that where I've got notes together for a show and then I've bunned them, and then a few days later someone rang me, oh, would you preview this show? And I'm like, I'm actually out in the paper bun going, where did I put you? I don't want to start researching again. Where did I put them?
So the only difference when you're there with the kids is that you're continually being asked for, can I go for ice cream and can I go for chips and all the rest of it. But other than that, I think the mindset sort of remains the same. But it was brilliant, like great atmosphere, serious crowd. And you're so much closer to the action. Like I'm sometimes way up in a commentary box and you're well away from the action. When you're down on the sideline, you can really listen to the players. You can see the interactions. You can see really closely how things are being organised. So I thoroughly enjoyed it. If not the result, I thoroughly enjoyed the spectacle. In saying that, it was a poor game of football and it brought up all the issues we have with modern Gaelic football. But if you're asking just from my role in terms of punditry, I enjoyed the hard nature of it. But I hope to God we can come up with solutions to prevent them sort of games. Because again, if both those teams had really went at it yesterday, open up 15-15, the result would have been every bit as tight. Mm. It would have been 20 times the entertainment. And that's really what you would love to see, those players of such an ability level and such fitness going at things properly. But at the minute,
as you mentioned it there, and that, I mean, Tyrone's in terms of Suss and Donegal, I mean, Dublin or Derry were playing what we call a modern game, a game that goes and beat Dublin and Croke Park, and they were moving on to the supposed next level. But in Ulster Championship, you have to go defence first. And Derry found to their cost that you can't play that against, you know, a hardened defensive counter-attack team. So Tyrone weren't going to fall into any trap. And then you've got that stalemate type game. But there's so much at stake there. And I know Brian Duher, I don't know what side of the pitch you were on, but he was just shouting patience, patience, patience the whole time, because Donegal rely on, you know, obviously trying to set up a trap, trying to take the ball into contact and strip you and then break. But even when Donegal did break, it was evident and that Tyrone had this big bank in the middle of the pitch. No matter if where the ball was turned over, should it be kind of more or less a halfway line? But as they dropped in, it was very much centrally that they weren't going to allow any of those breaks through the middle and no goal opportunities.
Yeah, and again, that's forewarned. Like I would suspect without the benefit of that Derry match, I would expect Donegal would have done a job on Tyrone, because I don't think Tyrone would have expected just that tightness of a defence coming from Donegal. There was plenty of chat in the earlier stages of the league of a sort of a ganging press or of a higher press type approach. I suppose that would have been the nice storyline for Jimmy coming back from soccer and his immersion in that sport, where that seems to be the trend, the tactical trend at the minute. And there was plenty of assumptions that that would be mirrored by what he does with the county team. I don't know whether it was, obviously Donegal were hit with significant injuries during the National League, and then maybe it just switched to a more pragmatic, okay, let's get the job done. What is our safest and best way to, rather than try and develop new strengths, let's play to our current strengths. And that is that counter-attacking game. So you sit back, you wait for your turnovers, you force your turnovers through a lack of patience from the opposition, and then you can punish them hard. And if you face a team that wants to high press on kickouts, well, then you can punish that even more so, as he did against Derry. So, no, it has turned out a wee bit differently than what people expected from Jimmy McGuinness. I'm not sure if there's another string to that bow. I'm not sure we'll see it this year if there is.
And it's interesting you say that, because, you know, the first league game against Cork, Donegal were harassing, pressing high, exciting football, turning Cork over all over the place. They were blocking up the wings as Cork tried to make plays, and then we did see small patches of that in the league, but never really to that level again. So I'm just wondering, as much as now there's probably a wee bit of, you know, particularly outside Ulster, people looking and going, what's this football again? But would you expect, you know, if Donegal were to go on to a bigger game at Croke Park, that there is that second element? Because we've seen it for years, and that, listen, this thing will take you so far, it can win you in Ulster, but you must have the other side. And Jim's a smart guy, he's going to know that.
Yeah, you would assume so. I think that's, to be honest, I was half expecting a slightly different side yesterday, because I didn't think Tyrone carry a massive pace on the counter-attack. I thought they build up fairly slowly, and with that, I thought they would have been vulnerable to a higher pressing style of game. I don't know whether it was the 1 week turnaround that put Jimmy off trying to do that, or whether it's just not in his playbook at the minute this year, or maybe at any time. Maybe he just sees the game that no Gaelic football is still best played. When all is said and done, the safest way is to pack your defence and hit on the counter-attack. And that the high pressing game just leaves you vulnerable to scores. Certainly the test of the likes of Dublin in Croke Park, where they are so good at keeping possession generally, that's a different test. The speed of Croke Park, I think, plays against a slower game and gives advantage to a team that's trying to go faster. In saying that, a lot of the trends that you've seen from Dublin, they are launching that ball in on top of Colin O'Callaghan. They are longer kick passes, and they are offering up a wee bit more turnovers than they did in the past. They are going into contact a wee bit more readily than they did in the past. So if Dublin were to take that approach into Donegal, maybe McGuinness is sitting thinking, no, these boys have loosened, these boys have went after the more advanced kicking type of game. They could be vulnerable to this in the same way that Derry were. It would be really interesting. We'll not know whether it'll pan out that we get to see Dublin and Derry in a big, big match, or Dublin and Donegal in a big, big match. But it'd be really interesting to see, do Dublin actually revert, similar to Tyrone, do Dublin revert to a keep the ball style? In which case, I think the pressure on the FRC to come in and do something about it would just grow all the bigger.
Yeah, and it's a funny one, isn't it? Because obviously you're proud of the lads. It was a huge effort yesterday, extra time. You know, from where we were last year, I mean, we lost to Tyrone by 9 points. You know, you don't want to be overly critical, but, you know, we're just chatting about football in general in terms of, you know, that type of tactic. It seemed to be evolving hugely with the elite teams. Now we've seen a kind of wee bit of a regression back, but I suppose needs must. And at the end of the day,
exactly, Brent.
Where are you? You're in the Ulster final. Like, it's. I suppose that's what we've done now in terms of beating, you know, a top Tyrone team, beating a much hyped Derry side. We're in the Armagh. I've got the feeling if you're the same end, that it'll be very, very similar type game with Armagh. It'll come down to that arm wrestle type stuff.
Yeah, it'll definitely be one of those if you're heading to it in commentary duty to look up every sort of alternative word for intriguing to try and get through 70 minutes of it. No, it could, but sometimes we are surprised, but certainly there's all the hallmarks of that. You've seen what Armagh and Down played out like and how Armagh approached that, and Armagh would be significantly stronger in my book than Down. But you touched on a topic there, and that's the sort of the two-pronged thing that you have to recognise. I think on the one hand, you can criticise the nature of the game and how it looked, but in no way are you criticising the management for taking that decision or the players for playing that way, because their only responsibility is to try to get the result. And with those tactics, I have said for quite a while, those tactics are so effective that why would you not use them? It is not up to the players or the management to think, what way is the most enjoyable for people watching this? That cannot be factored into the conversation at all. If the rules change, I think loads of managers will be more than happy to move to a more attacking style of game. But until those rules change, you are naive as a manager if you try to ignore the benefit of having a really compact defence.
Yeah, and on the rule changes, you think this will come from the Jim Gavin and the much vaunted crew. I'm surprised you weren't taken into that time with your brain power and experience out there.
No,
maybe you turned it down. You had time.
When you look at the criteria of or the CVs of those involved, I would have stuck out.
Yours is bad. What do you think then? You know, if you are talking about those changes, do you mean like leaving? A team has to leave 2/3. In the half or in the second.
Yeah, that's certainly the one that I like that direction of travel. I like that. I know there's issues about how easily it would be to referee. I think it would be. I would love something along the lines of like that we go back to sort of a one-man tackle situation, that a two-man tackle is immediately a free, which I think would take away the benefit of having crowded players or having a player completely crowded out. If you're a player, you could take on that man one-to-one and get past him. You might then be met with another defender, but at least you're not going to run into just three men and then get overturned. So the benefit of having huge numbers back is slightly less with that type of rule if that did come in. What I would be really averse to is anything that tries to either A, maybe increase the value of a goal to 5 points, because I just think the knock-on effect is teams become even more ultra-defensive.
Yeah.
Anything that forces the players in possession to have to kick the ball if it's not the right thing to do so, again, that for me will only increase the willingness of teams to sit back knowing that this other team is going to be forced to kick this at some stage. So the more boys we can have back, we can then counter. And you get into any of those type of rules will essentially take us down the line of basketball. Yes, you'll have more turnovers and more, but it'll be retreat the whole time into big numbers and then see who can best counterattack. And I don't think we want to develop a basketball style game, which is what we sort of have at the minute. So I would love if we can spread that, the players on the pitch, and force them to stay a wee bit more spread. I think players will kick the ball if there's space there, and we've seen it all the time. Players are so skilled at the minute. If there's an opportunity to kick the ball, they'll kick the ball. It's not that they don't want to kick the ball. It's just that the kick is not on when you're looking at 14, 15 men in a 40 metre square.
Yes, indeed. And I'm interested to see what the outcome is with these guys, and in between times, we'll get ready for Clonus, and you'll be supporting Donegal out there, I presume,
With every fibre of my being, Brent, don't you worry. Sure, McGinley's a Donegal name. I have to go with my
Of course, Stan, of course. There's some blood in there somewhere, and this and top stuff. You're managing Eric O'Kearn, of course, this year, and we'll be keeping an eye out for them, no doubt, and they're getting a good impact from having one of their top men back at the helm.
Well, we'll see. Proof will be in the pudding on that one, Brendan.
I hear you, lad. I hear you. And McGinley, as ever, sir, we will talk to you as the summer goes on, and we'll be looking forward to your punditry each week as you come out as the championship unfolds.
Lovely, Brendan. Good chatting to you.
Thank you, Adam.
Yep, in the beginning there, as ever. Great to talk to him, Park. What about Sister Sarah's next week? Can you make it?
We're going to be there. We can't. Well, we're booked in. We can't wait to get down there. Of course, it's going to be something that we're looking forward to, Brendan. Yep. The first Ulster final. Yeah, since 2022. There's a bit more. There's loads of excitement. Jimmy just brings that factor as well. So, look, we're really looking forward to next Monday night. And
get down there. There'll be a bit of crack. We'll have a few ex-legends of the game, of course. Joe Dex, thanks for producing. Thanks for my guests as well this evening. Jimmy and Paul are coming on with the excellent Monday night sessions.
Yeah, indeed.
And poor wee Paul, of course, is a big Tyrone
fan. Big Tyrone man.
Paul,
yeah.
Come on in here. We'll put the arm around you, my man. Catch us next week.